This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Discover Lafayette is recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. I'd also like to thank our premier sponsor, Iberia Bank, for its support of this podcast. Founded in 1887, Iberia Bank is the largest bank based in Louisiana and is headquartered right here in Lafayette. With 329 combined locations throughout the South, they offer the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. For more information, please visit IberiaBank.com. Dr. Natalie Harder is our guest today. Dr. Harder assumed the post of Chancellor of South Louisiana Community College, known as SLCC, in February 2012. The first in her family to attend college, Dr. Harder earned her doctorate in community college leadership from Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia. During her first year of service, Dr. Harder oversaw the merger of SLCC and Acadiana Technical College. Today, SLCC has campuses in 9 parishes with nearly 16,000 students served. A leader in training Louisiana's workforce, students can choose from diverse programs such as nursing, emergency medical technology, industrial technology, digital media design, and marine and aviation technologies. And if I may, Dr. Harder, I know you as Natalie, so if we can start with that, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, Natalie, since we met 7 years ago, so much has happened. I met you when you first moved here, you and Sian, and you have been so busy and have done so much to grow our community college system. I want to thank you for your dedication to educating all of our students.
Well, thank you so much for that, Jan, but I have an amazing team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes me smile when people talk about that first merger because we've done a second one, right?
Ah.
Yeah, which is how we now cover 6,200 square miles and from Houma to Ville Platte. And I think to myself that I think if anybody had said to me, you know, you're going to take a job, you're going to do 2 mergers in 6 years, you're going to go through double-digit state budget cuts, I might have rethought whether or not that's the first CEO position I would have wanted. But in truth, it's been a heck of a ride, and we've come out the other side just so strong and so committed to raising educational attainment. And my team is just
They really are.
Yeah.
And Natalie, I know that your goal is to see every student be able to achieve their potential. And I do want to talk about your background, but let's kind of talk about what you brought up. The students that you serve in South Louisiana, I mean, there's a lot of diversity and economic ability to pay. And the programming that you've expanded into and that you offer really has opened doors in so many ways that so many of us never expected, because we come from that traditional, you know, you traditionally think 4-year educational outcomes. But in fact, those students aren't able to always have training to be able to perform a job when they get out. And you've been looking at what our needs are, not just in South Louisiana, but throughout the state.
Right. And you know, Jan, it's so interesting because you're right. So if you looked at SLCC when I first started, they really were sort of general education aimed at transfer. When we did that first merger, we brought the technical education and training programs in, and those are really the high wage, high demand jobs in our not just in our community, but within our state. And you mentioned some of them, you know, from nursing to commercial truck driving, non-destructive testing, and so on. And then over the last few years, we've also been pretty aggressive in trying to do adult basic education. So I tell everybody, you know, whether you have a third grade reading level or you've got a doctorate and you need to upgrade your skill, and we have those folks that come back to us, we want to be able to offer the gamut of education and training. I think the key thing for me personally, not being from Louisiana, is the low educational attainment rate, and you talked about that a bit. You know, when you are looking at the majority of the adult workforce in Louisiana without a college credential, we can't compete. You know, we have a number of socioeconomic indicators that are terrible because they're directly linked to educational attainment. And so, you know, we've made it our mission to increase educational attainment, whatever that means. So if you come in and you're 18 and you have a third grade education, or you could be 80 and have a third grade education, you know, we're going to move you along a trajectory to help you better your life. Maybe someday you will complete a doctorate, but if you decide that you want to be a welder instead, or that you want to, you know, earn an associate's degree and transfer, we'll help you do that as well. There is so much work to be done to raise educational attainment in this state. You know, we dropped from 48th in 2017 to 49th in 2018. And I don't know why we don't consider that a crisis.
I was looking online at statistics, and I don't know how accurate they were, but looking at the difference between, you know, a community college, people that actually graduate and whatever they choose, versus the four-year colleges. And I was surprised at, in both systems, you know, I thought there'd be higher levels of graduation, but also that it takes a while for people to finish their education, and every hour that you have to take adds up in expense. So I'm curious if you can weave in your background. What got you in to the community college leadership track, and does it have something to do with the numbers of people that you can actually help?
It wasn't intentional. So I thank the universe or the good Lord for putting me on this path. I actually started out working at a foundation for a community college in my mid-30s, and I had no idea what a community college was until that time. But when I saw how it really existed to serve everybody, you know, you could be the 18-year-old valedictorian from Delcom, or you're the single parent of three from Crowley, you know, you're the returning veteran, you're the individual with a bachelor's degree that can't help you pay your student loans back, you're the laid-off oil and gas person that's looking to say, I've been welding for 30 years, but I need the certifications to prove it. We serve everybody. And so, when I was exposed to that, that's really when I was bitten by the bug to see, you know, just what we can do or I could do to support community college institutions.
You know, I've been in Texas when I was in college and was exposed to the community college system then, back in the 70s. And it seemed like in some states there's less of a, I don't want to say stigma, but that in Texas, it was like the track to get to college. You know, very few people could get into UT or whatever. And so it was just looked at as one option of many good options. Yeah. And it's not always like that. And I know that that's, you know, people are working to remove that stigma. But you moved here from up north. What is it like? Like, what is the community college system like nationally? Is it differing from state to state, or is it typical?
I would say that in a majority of states, there's clearly respect for what the community college does. I mean, you mentioned Texas, states like California, New York, Virginia. There isn't the stigma that we have.
Yeah,
it's definitely considered either a feeder if you want your bachelor's, or you know, today many of our technical degrees pay more than a bachelor's degree.
And so I
think there's a healthy respect now for the education and training that community colleges do. We have work to get there in Louisiana, but that comes from the history of how higher ed sort of started here, and there's a ways to go.
I think it's just a matter of educating people on how to get educated, because you know, we all know the story of the barista that might have even a master's in history or something, and job opportunities aren't available. And I remember you spoke in an Upper Lafayette meeting early on when I was still working with them, but maybe back in 2012 when you had just moved here. And people were shocked to see, as you said, that some of the two-year certification classes, for depending on what it is, people can start out making $50,000 and up
easily,
with great benefits. And I read like your aviation maintenance technology and the marine technology. These are high-end fields where there's a demand for qualified workers. And I don't know that they need a four-year certificate to be trained.
Yeah, and actually, Jan, the pressure today is they don't even need an associate's degree. As long as they receive a certification from whatever agency, so mm-hmm. you talk about aviation, they need an FAA certification. They don't need an associate's degree. So I think, you know, the pressure is on all of higher education to mm-hmm. maintain relevance when students have those options today, and they should have those options today.
Right.
I mean, I clearly am one of those individuals not to throw out baby with the bathwater, because I think that a well-rounded education benefits everybody. But I think the days of piling on credits mm-hmm. for the sake of what higher education thought was relevant, those days are slipping away very quickly.
And with technology evolving as fast as it is, and I know job skills are evolving even faster, mm-hmm. someone like me with a traditional education, I mean, you know, to think about paying for that today compared to what I paid for when the state subsidized most of my education. Just
right.
as a child of
right.
Louisiana parents, I mean, I paid so little. I thought it was a lot at the time, and I had student debt, but I wasn't crushed when I graduated from law school. I was able to roll
right.
it in without having to work two jobs and stress about,
yep.
I can't buy a home, I can't do this and that. So
yeah, and I think, you know, there's a couple of factors that play into the whole student debt piece, and we could talk a whole nother session
mm-hmm.
about that. You know, but yeah, there's, I mean, people make choices, and if you're uneducated, that's often where you find yourself in debt. And so, I mean, for example, about 60% of community college students graduate with zero debt. Right. And then those that do graduate with debt, it's very regularly under $7,500.
Okay.
I mean, actually, most of our students borrow far less than
mm-hmm.
that, because for two-year institutions, Pell, for example, covers the bulk of your tuition and fees. But if you believe, for example, that going to an expensive college is what's important to you, but you don't pick a major that provides a salary at the end of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you are picking an expensive college and getting a basic liberal arts degree and borrowing to do that, you will have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a ton of research out of Georgetown about what you study is much more important than where you study it, and it's absolutely true.
Right. But we've heard so much in the news lately about parents buying their ways in. You know, mm-hmm. we laugh about that sometimes, thinking, well, look at that. But for the average person, how nice would that be? You know what I mean? Like if you had parents that could just pay your tuition, you know. Most
yeah.
of us don't have that, and we look for options. And, you know, can you talk about that? Are kids in high schools these days, I know there's a lot of focus on going on and getting an education, but do you think that the counselors, are they really telling the kids, you know, liberal arts sounds great and it is an important facet to your education, but to get a real, like a job where you're trained to do something, you can't just rely on a liberal arts degree. You need some type of training.
Yeah, you know, Jan, I think the biggest challenge is that counselors don't have time to have those conversations with kids. They really don't. You know, they're dealing with oftentimes students who don't think college is in, and when I think about Louisiana, students that don't consider college to be an option for them, or people that have been put on a certain college pathway or thought process by a family situation, a counselor isn't going to really be able to bridge that. So, you know, I think it's incumbent upon institutions that as students express interest, that we're honest with them, not
mm-hmm.
just about what the cost is, but what your job options are going to be when you're finished. And if you want to obtain an expensive a degree in a field that doesn't have a lot of options for you after graduation, you can take that on yourself. I have a bachelor's in economics.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a job ad for someone with a bachelor's in economics?
Nope.
But I didn't have anybody to tell me not to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. And I bet it was really interesting. I'm sure that was fascinating.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I mean, I have to, you know, it was like my fourth major. But
that was general studies.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I had an economics teacher that I was just like, oh, I get this.
Yeah.
But I got out and I couldn't find a job.
You don't think that's helping you today?
Oh, no, I think it, you know, it definitely is. And,
And you can read the spreadsheet. And,
and I never, I'm still a little bit of a policy mm-hmm. geek because of it. But, you know, but I had gone to college, you mentioned being first generation, to get a good job. And mm-hmm. then I was like, what do you mean I can't get a job with this? So, I feel particularly strong about really trying to educate people on what their options are.
Wise choices. So when a student comes to SLCC, what are the options for financial support? Like, mm-hmm. as an example, does TOPS cover mm-hmm. SLCC?
Oh, yeah. And you know, there's different options. So, you have state financial aid, TOPS and TOPS Tech. You have mm-hmm. Federal, and there's other things called like GO grants and things like that. There's federal financial aid, Pell dollars. You can get different kinds of loans. And then there are private scholarship dollars. So, you know, we tell folks that given our state's economic situation, almost everybody who applies for financial aid gets some sort of financial aid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but where we get caught is you have an individual who's working, and the average age of our students is either 26 or 27. It fluctuates a little bit every year. They're working. They generally aren't eligible for financial aid. So you're asking them to give up hours either with their family or with their job so they could pay more to be better educated when they have responsibilities. They mm-hmm. want to do better, but they are in a... they're in a financial cycle where it's really hard to pull them out of that. So, you know, it would be great for our state to recognize that TOPS is a good thing, but maybe we need something like TOPS for adults
yeah.
or grown-ups.
I always wondered, it seems like you have to start school immediately after high school to keep TOPS. And I'm not sure if I'm right on that.
You have to use your TOPS within a year
yeah,
of graduation.
I mean, most people are not that mature at 17, 18, you know, when they're graduating. I know I certainly wasn't. And change majors so many times, I can see how people lose TOPS and or don't finish college because then they lose the financial support. And I always thought if you could bank it, or like you're saying, for older people that maybe didn't have access to TOPS, to have some way that they could qualify, that could really turn our state's educational attainment around.
Oh, you're right on, Jane. And particularly when you think about in our rural communities where they're particularly stressed from an educational attainment level. Mm-hmm. I mean, those people didn't always do great in high school. Well, they're older now. They have kids.
Yeah.
They want to do something different. And we hold them back because of their age, because of their GPA. We put up too many barriers to people who wanted to try to do something different in their life. I mean, which is why, you know, you talked about community college, you know, part of our commitment. I love that we're open access. Again, you got a third grade education or you got a doctorate and you need to upgrade your skills in something, you know, we are there for you. Mm-hmm. And we are fervently committed to being open access.
And I'm glad you're mentioning that because most people probably don't know that. You know,
yeah.
about the qualifications. So thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. And that gets me to think about the 55 by 25 initiative. I know that there's a goal to increase the proportion of people that have some type of post-secondary degree. And I saw that it was just announced in Vermilion mm-hmm. Parish that they're adopting it also. Would you talk about that?
Yeah.
Because you're active with One Acadiana pushing for this.
Yeah, you know, and years ago, when I first started out professionally in economic development, workforce was never in the top five or three, sometimes even the top seven of what people were looking for if they wanted to move a business or grow a business. Now, if it's not in the top one or two, it's rare. And so if we are going to be a competitive state from an economic perspective, you have to have a trained workforce. We can't be 49th in terms of educational attainment and expect to attract high-wage, high-demand jobs. And so, every social cost is directly correlated to educational attainment. So the less educational attainment your state has, the higher your incarceration mm-hmm. rates. Mm-hmm. The more individuals who have substance abuse problems, the more money you pay out in terms of entitlement and social programs. The higher your mortality rates, the higher your health care costs. I mean, mm-hmm. everything that is a socioeconomic cost – is directly related, but from a polar perspective, to educational attainment. So doesn't it make sense if we want to, and I say this all the time, if people are interested, for example, in the state reducing its spending on Medicaid, educate more people. The more educated you are, the less Medicaid you need. Mm-hmm. So I think if we can agree that there's the common focus there ought to be increasing educational attainment, then maybe we can put resources where they make the most sense.
What are your thoughts, though, on changing that cultural mindset? You know, for either education hasn't traditionally been important, let's say in some families, especially in rural areas. How do we change that mindset if the state can want to help people, if groups like One Acadiana and others want to get behind the bandwagon? How do we change this cultural, I don't know what how to define it, but you know what I'm saying? It's right. It's more than just one or two people right. that can go out there and change this. How do we do it?
Yeah, you know, I think having spent the last 7 years in this state, it isn't the college going out there and telling you that this is what's good for you. It's not elected officials going out there mm-hmm. telling you what's good for you. I think one of the great things about this state is when people see change, then they want to be the change. So the more opportunities we can give for people in rural communities or who are socioeconomically challenged, and then their communities see what that means to them, that is how we will change the mindset. Mm-hmm.
I love a post that you tweeted about women in blue-collar fields, such as plumbers, electricians, truck drivers. There's a demand now. And some of these positions, as we were talking about, are high-paying. So is that what you're talking about, just getting the word out, mm-hmm. letting people see that success is what you define it? You know, success is what you own.
You're absolutely right, Jan. And, you know, I sort of didn't close the loop on. So 55 by 25, if you become CDL certified commercial, you get your commercial driver's license, you count towards being part of the 55% of mm-hmm. adults that have a high quality credential or more by the year 2025. So I think, you know, we have an interesting economy in Louisiana. So we have a lot of traditional industries where traditionally men were employed, right? So that's so that's not necessarily it's not that it's a negative, but that's another stereotype we have to get over. And women were often, particularly working class families, were put through college programs that didn't lead to high wage, high demand mm-hmm. jobs. So we would be speaking out of both sides of our mouths. You know, get a college degree, oh wait, but you can't really get a good paying job and live off of that. So I think the neat thing is about technology, and we were talking about that before we started this whole conversation, mm-hmm. is it really gives everybody a chance to say that they can do whatever they want to do. You want to be a female CDL driver? Great. Be a female commercial truck driver. You want to be a male nurse? Be a male. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
It goes both ways.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely goes both ways. And so I think that's a lot of what's exciting mm-hmm. out there now. You know, we talked about commercial truck drivers. What a lot of people don't realize is, first of all, after nursing, it's the second most number of job openings in the state of Louisiana.
I was about to ask you, what are the top jobs?
And it only takes you about 10 weeks to get to get yourself prepared to take the test. And you can easily be making six figures in 18 months.
What?
So, you know.
Well, Jason, maybe we need to go.
Right.
What's it called, the CDL?
Yeah, your commercial driver's license. Yeah. You know, we have a program called non-destructive testing. It's a 18-month program. They start out at about $56,000 a year. That's if you stay in the state of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Those that travel, they're easily making six figures in
That's incredible.
2 or 3 years. But the point for our institution, for South Louisiana Community College, is that we want to tie a high-wage, high-paying job to every one of our programs. So, or make it a ladder. So you may mm-hmm. start out with medical assisting, go to LPN to RN, or CNA, LPN to RN. But we have a lot of different programs out there for folks to try out and see what works for them. But yeah, you talked commercial truck driving, maritime, mm-hmm. a great industry, you know, particularly down there, St. Mary Parish and and
is it in Morgan
that
City
vicinity.
Is where you
That's
have that
we
program?
Do the majority of it in Morgan City. We have $1 million simulator for driving tugs and boats, and it's really neat. But, you know, those, but again, you don't necessarily need a degree. You need Coast Guard certifications. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different, higher education is going to have to continue to progress, or in some cases begin to progress.
Right.
You know, we have to figure out how to be like Uber. You know, what students want, where they want it, and when they want it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be in middle school and learn to code from YouTube. Why should you come to me for even a 2-year degree, right? So we have to continually reinvent ourselves.
And changing those mindsets. Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah. What are some of the other top fields? Are there others that come to mind?
Nursing.
Is really the one,
huge,
healthcare.
Huge. I mean, healthcare, there's so much demand from a healthcare perspective. There's a lot of demand for certain fields in terms of business, particularly accounting, IT, mm-hmm. application software development. There's a huge demand for that, and I'm sure on the show you've, you know, whether it's CGI proficient,
yeah,
you know,
is on, yeah.
But if you think about it, those companies come, and then what do? They look at other companies for their people, right? So it's a big churn going on right
coaching
now.
Coaching each other, yeah.
Which makes it tough for the small and medium-sized businesses to compete for good people. So, I mean, application software is definitely, I mean, the networking side of IT has always been very strong. For us, oil and gas our program is really strong right now. Not sure what's driving that. A lot of hope and optimism, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there are things picking up around Louisiana and around the country that makes sense from that perspective. But I didn't think that program would have bounced back as quickly as
That's
it did.
That's good news.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that SLCC will be in a partnership with Lafayette General on telehealth. If you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. As you know, we mentioned technology continues to affect our everyday lives, and you know, maybe nowhere do you see that happen more quickly than in the medical field. And so, you know, they were generous enough to that when they Lafayette General Health Foundation wrote a grant to get some funding from USDA to install, you know, these carts so that. We originally thought about serving our employees and students mm-hmm. from a telehealth perspective as well as doing the training. But with the app you can get, for example, through Lafayette General Health, that we really are going to focus on the training piece of mm-hmm. it. So we hope to have those carts at 8 of our campuses over the next year.
I know there's a big push, especially from Lafayette General, not only to have telehealth where people can get treated without having to go into the physician once they have a relationship, but also corporate wellness and other things to keep people from even needing a doctor in the first place. It's a real push for outcome-based medical treatment versus reacting to a problem.
Right,
so I know it's
right.
an exciting time for students to be learning.
And Jen, I will go back to what I said earlier. You know what the number one indicator is of good health outcomes? Your education level. Mm-hmm. So it's all tied together. And if we as a state could make a decision that education is the most important thing that we do, mm-hmm. a lot of these other things would be better.
And you know, if you're educated, I don't mean to be generalizing, and here I am doing it, but there's hope. Like if you've taken care of some things to set your future, you're probably also taking care of other things, including your health and all the other things you were talking about. And I don't mean to make light of that,
no,
but if you don't have hope for a good future, what's the point?
But you can focus on that because you're mm-hmm. not in the daily grind of job hopping.
Mm-hmm.
And trying
survival.
To manage exactly, yeah. It's the survival piece of it. So you know, we had talked about at one point about students completing higher education. You know, the number one reason students don't complete college, any college, isn't because they don't have the academic aptitude. It's life, and the number one issue there is finances, not some general something big and catastrophic, but they have a flat tire. Mm-hmm. And now they don't have $100 to get a new tire, or their babysitter gets sick and they can't find another babysitter to hire, or whatever it is. It seems like small things, but they derail you when you live paycheck to paycheck and you're mm-hmm. sort of right on the the line there of surviving, as you indicated. I teach a class at SLCC, and one of the reasons I do it is because I just never want to forget mm-hmm. what is going on in our students' lives. And I had a young lady just, I mean, very impactful. I talk about her all the time. About a year ago, she's a good student. She misses a week of class. And I was like, you know, are you all right? Everything okay? She didn't check in, didn't get her homework done. And she was moving herself and her three kids into her sister's porch.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, her that wasn't receiving any child support. She actually lost her job out of oil and gas. And, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, let me get this straight. You live in someone's porch with your three kids, and you made it to school today. I mean, how do we count that? You know what I mean? The resilience, right? But you can imagine if something happens, and now she doesn't have a porch to live in. I mean, where is she going to go? I mean, so first of all, you know, we talk about stigma. We have stigmas all over the place. Nobody that I've ever met here wants to stay unemployed, enjoys being on public assistance, or is happy living in a porch. And so, you know, when we talk open access and we talk commitment to change in our communities, you just got to do it a day at a time.
That must be heartbreaking for you to see some of this and learn what some of the students go through.
Yeah, and I don't always catch it, Jan, which bothers me. You know, we went through a real time last year where it sort of slapped me in the face, the food insecurity. Mm-hmm. People in Louisiana are very proud, and they don't tell you that they're not eating. But luckily, I had some great faculty members and a student liaison from New Iberia who was telling me about faculty driving students to food pantries. And people bringing in food for students, and our Student Government Association having extra food at events so they could give it to students so they had something to eat, which made me like say, oh my gosh. So, you know, we're working on, we've got these little food pantries now at our campuses, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
So we got to figure that out, 2.0. I mean, and deal with the homeless issue. Right? I mean, if you don't have a porch, where is she and her three kids going to sleep? In her car? That was her answer to me. Oh.
So, she sounds like she's going to do fine, though.
You know what? She's an amazing young lady.
It's going to make me cry.
Yeah, no, she's an amazing young lady, and she graduated, and
great.
She's on to bigger and better things.
What class were you teaching?
I teach a business class.
Uh-huh. Economics?
It's a principles of management. But I have all kinds of mm-hmm. students. And that's one of the reasons I do it, so I just never, ever forget.
Right. Any big news coming up or any announcements besides the telehealth that I should have asked you about?
We do have we have so many things. Mm-hmm. Where to begin? I think one of the things that's going to be very exciting for us this week is announcing our Career and Technical Academy in St. Landry Parish. So we really want to give opportunities for public high school students in St. Landry Parish to do what Early College Academy sort of does mm-hmm, here, mm-hmm. right, where you can earn an associate's degree. Our focus up there will be on technical. So you would earn, let's say, a technical diploma in welding when you graduate. The superintendent there has been, he's really committed to...
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, to Superintendent Jenkins, to doing better by that parish from a public education perspective. And so we're excited
that's gonna make
to
a big
partner
difference.
With him.
You talk about all the economic indicators.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good things that are happening there. We've got our mm-hmm. new lab, welding lab and training center being built down at the Port of West St. Mary, which is a great collaboration. So, I mean, we have things popping up in every parish. Our new power mm-hmm. lineman program in Acadia Parish was a great partnership, you know, leads to great paying jobs and in a very high demand area. You know, I don't know the last time I could climb up a power pole. But there's a shortage of people, but you need mm-hmm. certifications and things like that. So we have good things going on all over. I think one of the things I'm really proud of is, you know, we really embarked on using open educational resources a few years ago. And so what that means is that, you know, you have a student comes in, and if they're taking a full load, let's say their first semester as a freshman, books can cost you up to mm-hmm. $700. Mm-hmm. And I learned that because my my youngest son is now in our early college academy, where you graduate with your associate's degree the day you graduate from high school. And he brought home his book list. And I said to him, and I'm the chancellor, I'm like, these book prices must be a mistake.
No, they're not.
And and so the college has really rallied. And this year we saved students $1.9 million.
Gosh.
So, I mean, when you're thinking about whether you can afford to take another class, mm-hmm. should I buy the textbook or pay the babysitter, not having to buy resources for the class can have a huge impact. And when you have open educational resources, in other words, things you can download for
free. I was going to ask you, is that online?
Just primarily,
PDF,
yeah.
Yep. Books.
You know, you come to class with your materials that day. Mm-hmm. You're not waiting for a check. You're not waiting for financial aid. You're not, you know what I mean? You can come to class prepared instead of waiting, oftentimes being behind. So yeah. I'm really proud of my team for that.
That's great. Yeah. Well, we're here with Jason Sikora from Raider Solutions. And Jason, as always, you've been writing a lot of notes.
I always take a lot of notes. Well, so first of all, Dr. Harder, thank you for being here. I took some notes ahead of time, and you answer. I'm so glad you hit on socioeconomic, student loans, debts, and finances, because mm-hmm. that's huge for students, and that definitely holds some back. And luckily, I was lucky enough to get a bachelor degree, although it was in music, and now I work in the IT department. So, a couple notes and comments that I wanted to make. The way you speak about education and it kind of changing everything reminded me of a presidential candidate in 2000 called Dr. Hagelin. He's a quantum physicist, mm-hmm. and his platform was, if you fix education and you get a properly educated society, everything else gets fixed. And I think that's a very strong statement. If you do have well-educated people, crime goes down, health is better, wages are better, there's jobs. So I think that's huge, and so thank you for hitting on that as well. And with my wife being a teacher, we have high educational things at home that we always talk about. I like also that you talked about certifications. So here at Raider Solutions, we're an IT department, and we're 28 people now, but I think only 3 have a degree in computer science.
Yep.
But we need to get certified on certain things, networking and programming, and mm-hmm. just to make sure that we're staying up on these things. So, yeah, you don't necessarily have to have a degree, but you need to be certified, and you need mm-hmm. to know these things, and that's the best way to go about it. So thank you for hitting that as well.
Well, and can I say one thing there,
yeah.
Jason? Because, and it goes back to Jan's point, what I want people to do is say everybody has to go to college. You don't have to get a 4-year degree. You don't have to get a 2-year degree, but you have to go to college. If you want to mm-hmm. be a plumber, you need certifications, mm-hmm. right? You have to go to college. So, you know, Jan talked a few minutes ago about the stigma. I hear it still on a regular basis. Well, they weren't good enough for regular college.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and you're like, I'm sorry, we have the word college in our name. And by the way, you better be darn good at math if you're going to be a welder.
Yep.
So, I don't know where society decided that if you used your hands, it meant, you know, you weren't using as much of your gray matter. But we sort of have a tagline that says heads that know and hands that know how. I mean, it's just because you're using your hands doesn't mean, you know, you're smarter than the person mm-hmm. next to you who isn't using their hands. So that we just got to move on from that. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Society, we all depend on all of us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we need college presidents. We need lawyers. I guess some, maybe not as many as, you know, we need all these different trades.
Yeah.
We need plumbers and electricians. What I can't imagine if everything broke in my house and I had to fix it.
Well, you know, and ask yourself how long you often have to wait for a contractor, a good contractor.
Oh, I'm in that right now.
You know what I mean? And then you pay.
Yeah, and it's worth
so
it.
So
yeah.
they make plenty of money. So So anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, it is that everybody has to go to college. You just have to figure out what you got to go to college for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, even a plumber, so say you're good at plumbing and you're going to go get certified, you still have to learn about being insured and
yeah.
being certified with the state and all these other things that are outside of actually physically plumbing pipes in a house.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
So, and you need to go learn those things. So,
and if you want to do it on a commercial basis, you need plumbing certifications to become a subcontractor,
yep,
right?
Exactly.
So you're exactly right. And you know, one of the things that's great about our state is that people love to be entrepreneurial.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a history of learning things on our own. But what we saw in this last oil and gas downturn, and SLCC was very involved in retraining folks, is people learned how to weld in their granddad's garage. You know what? But a major international company isn't interested in that. They want to know you have your TIG certification. Yep. Your Smith, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So we were like, great, you know how to do it. Just come back and test with us.
It'll be easy.
So, you know, that's kind of the quality level mm-hmm. that some of these employers are now saying. You can't just say you know how to do it. I need to see a quality certification.
Yeah. What's your website and are any other good online resources that we should be aware of?
Oh, sure. I mean, so we have solacc.edu. Is our website. We have a Facebook page for South Louisiana Community College. We have a, we do LinkedIn, we do Twitter. So we, you know, try to be in the social media spaces as well. We have open houses and you can just drop in to any one of our campuses and have a conversation. We have online chat feature through the website. And so there's all kinds of ways to figure out how to connect with us and what we're doing.
Excellent. Final question, might be a tough one. Okay. Advice for parents with kids in high school. What kind of conversations should they be having with their kids?
My first suggestion to parents is to take a deep breath. If your child is telling you that they are not interested in college, give them some slack. We live longer than we've ever lived before. There are more ways to be educated. If you shove your kid at what you believe is best for them, it generally doesn't work out well. So I'm not saying you allow your child to, you know, take 12 years off and live in your basement and drive your car, but I'm saying let them figure out what it is that's of interest to them. Have them take one course a semester or do something online to try some things out before you fully commit to a program that they're not sure that they're going mm-hmm. to enjoy. For a couple of reasons. Number one, it's very aggravating, mm-hmm. right? For you as a parent to have put all that emotion and belief into what your child is going to do and it doesn't work out. So there's that emotional piece. Add to that what could be the financial component mm-hmm. of that. Not only is it just whatever you're doing out of pocket, but they could potentially lose their TOPS if they're you know, a high school student soon to be graduating and up in debt or something else. I mean, obviously, I encourage people to look at the community college. I think because of our price point, we are an inexpensive way for young people to figure out what they don't want to do. Maybe they won't know in a year exactly where they're driven. Mm-hmm. But, for example, we have plenty of people that come in and think they want to be in healthcare, and after the first semester, they're like, never mind, I don't want to touch that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Whereas if you, you know, pick up your child and they end up with room and board and they're far away from home, and it becomes much mm-hmm. more difficult. I would encourage you to have them earn as many dual credits as possible. So, you know, if their high school isn't offering dual enrollment classes, I would ask the principal why they're not offering dual enrollment classes. The state provides some funds for schools to do that. But the more college credits they can get under their belt in high school, the better off they are. I've been surprised to learn that about 60% of high school seniors do not even take a full course load in their senior year. What are they doing? You ought to be putting them in a college class. Yeah.
Social media.
Right. And, you know, and I also would say the idea of people having summers off is over. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that you need to be intense, you know, 52 weeks a year, but why wait till August? Yeah. Enroll them in a class. I mean, just, you know, hey, they think they have an interest in IT. Well, pick something up and see if they are really good at coding or building a computer or something like that. I think, you know, parents, you know, can be very driven. I think you got to listen to your kids, you know, set boundaries. You know, one of the things I recommend to parents is if they think that this will work for them, you know, your child can borrow for college, and when they're successful, then you can pay that loan off. But if you're not, I tell parents this all the time, if you're not maxing out your retirement, you can't borrow for retirement. Mm-hmm. Right? So why do you want to spend those dollars that you may never get back if your child isn't going to be successful for whatever reason? So let them let your kid navigate as much as possible. You know, don't be a helicopter parent. Mm-hmm. They're going to make mistakes. But if they change their major, it's not the end of the world. If they want to stop out a semester, it's not the end of the world. I'm sure many people listening to this are going to be like, it seems counterintuitive, right? You need educational attainment. But if you are a parent thinking about your kid's college, you're already 75% there because you've had those conversations at home. Mm-hmm. Your kid is going to be okay. It might not be the path you want for them directly to, I don't know, whatever, doctor, lawyer. You know, it might be a totally different path, but you've got most of it under your belt. It's just figuring out, you know, how to maneuver around your mm-hmm. kids' interests.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Yeah, thank you.
And you know, the stress that kids, I mean, I know that a lot of kids have, you know, everything at their disposal, but the stress that they're under in today's world is incredible. And some of them feel so much pressure from parents to do what their parents did. And, yeah. you know.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Jan, and, you know, I'm a college CEO. I don't sweat the ACT. I mean, fewer and fewer colleges are requiring ACT mm-hmm. and SAT. We are not. I mean, it's just one indicator. You're gonna decide a kid's fate and placement on one test. I just think that there's mm-hmm. so much around being a good person, being a good citizen, being a good student. I just think that we want one test because it's easy for everybody else. There's a number. It must mm-hmm. indicate this, and it just doesn't work like that. So I mean, yep. I know there are professions very geared towards your GMAT and your GRE. I remember when I went back for my doctorate and I was arguing with the program director. I said, I can't understand why I have to take a graduate test. I've been a professional for 10 years. And his response to me was, well, we've always done it this way. And that's when I knew, I'm like, I have to get into education.
I know.
Because this is not right. But I mean, I really think it's, you know, I'm not saying take your foot off the pedal. You know, you mm-hmm. give them boundaries. But the fact is that it's not the end of the world if they don't get a 36 on the ACT.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's interesting you brought that up, because I know King Alexander has come under great criticism for saying that LSU.
Wanted to look at holistic admissions.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? I mean, does any parent think the very best indicator for how they're going to be in college is one test? No, you know your kids. They got all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, so why did we ever allow it to happen? Yeah. We got to get away from that.
Well, I could let this interview go on forever. Natalie Harder, I'm a big fan of yours and grateful to have your, you know, your presence here on the show and sharing what you're doing. And maybe we need to get you back
in the
future and talk about how these new programs are going. And, you know, I was really curious about where you were going, and it looks like technology is driving a lot of what's going on, as well as traditional skills that people can get certified in. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank you, Jason Sikora with Raider Solutions, and to Iberia Bank for being our premier sponsor. And to our listeners, I'm grateful for your support. Please go to our website, discoverlafayette.net, where you can find Dr. Harder's interview and all of our interviews. Or you can also go to Apple Podcast, Google Play, Alexa, anywhere that you get your podcast, Discover Lafayette is there. Thank you for listening. I'm Jan Swift.